birth of Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And really, really, we need to celebrate his birth every day. Every day. Praise God. And he was born and he was crucified. A little over 33 years later, he was crucified, but he rose again, didn't he? And now he's alive forevermore. He will never die again. He don't have to. And thank God that because of his birth and because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we have life abiding on the inside of us. Those of us that have received Jesus Christ into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. So really, we're celebrating Jesus. Yes, we are. We're celebrating Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to read something to you from the book of Luke. Chapter 2, the second chapter of Luke. And I begin reading at the 8th verse. At the 8th verse. It says, there were in the same country. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you," I love this, glory to God, "for behold, I bring you good tidings." Hallelujah. Good news. Good news. Hallelujah. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." All people. Now, I like that word, all there, because that means I'm included in that. Yeah, I'm included in that. So there's good news for me and there's good news for you. Verse 11 says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And verse 13 says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying," you ready for this? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." And that's not just talking about the male species. That's talking about mankind. That's male and female. Glory to God. Peace. And on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what color you are. Amen. What race you are. Don't matter. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't even matter the circumstances behind your birth. You may be poor. You may be rich. None of that matters. Verse 14 applies to you. It applies to us. Let me read it to you again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I'm here to tell you, it don't matter who you are, where you are, but God is extending to you peace. God is extending to you peace. God is extending to you goodwill. Goodwill. Can I say this a little different way? God's will for you is good. God created you for good. Not for bad, for good. And that's the reason he told, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Because peace, the peace of God has been extended to us. Goodwill is being offered to us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to tell you something. God is not, let me repeat this. God is not a mean God. God is not a mean God. The Bible tells us that God is a loving God. He is a loving God. Now, the devil is a mean devil. But God is a loving God. Amen. Why don't you look at somebody right close to you and just tell them, say, God loves you. Look at the person on the other side of you. Tell them the same thing. Say, God loves you. Now, why am I doing this? Because that's what people struggle with. That's what people struggle with. Does God really love me? If God really loves me, why am I dealing with this? And why am I dealing with that? Listen, God has made the way. God has opened the door, but we got to walk through it. And there is a liar and a deceiver out there that tries to talk to us constantly. And he will lie to you and tell you that God does not love you. Tell you you've been too bad. God's given up on you. But we see here in 14 that God is offering to us every man. Now I took him up on it. You hear me? I took him up on it. But that's being offered to every person, peace and goodwill. And that comes through Jesus Christ. You hear me? Peace comes through Jesus Christ. The blessings of God comes through Jesus Christ. Victory comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. Are you still here? Amen. Now, I want to share about three or four things with you. I don't plan really to hold you very long. But I have some things I want to share with you. And my subject today is in his own word. In his own words. In his own words. I want to share with you just for a little bit on what Jesus had to say about his coming in his own words. Amen. Hallelujah. And there's a lot in Scripture about the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. Old Testament and New Testament. There's a lot the Bible has to say about the coming of the Lord. But for right now, we want to look at some things, not everything, but some things that Jesus had to say. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, John chapter 6, turn there, please. Sixth chapter of John. And I'll begin reading at verse 38. And listen to what Jesus said. Now, Jesus is doing the talking here. He says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, this is what Jesus is giving us the reason for his coming. One of the reasons for his coming. Let me say it again. "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day." Glory to God. Woo, isn't that powerful? Now listen to what Jesus was saying. He says, "I have come. I have come to do the will of my Father." That's what Jesus said. "I've come to do the will of my Father because my Father sent me." And we know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he did" what? "Sent," or "gave," yeah, "his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life." Jesus came at the pleasure of the Father. And y'all hang here with me just a minute, because this is a blessing to me here. Glory to God. I want to read it for my sake. Now, you might just want to jump back on the pickup too and hang on. But he said, "For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." So Jesus made it plain. I didn't come to do my will. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember, before he went to the cross, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus began to talk to his Father because he realized what he had ahead of him, what he had to deal with ahead of him. Think about it for a moment. I don't know how many people that's been born on this earth. I don't know how many people on this earth right now. And I don't know how many will be born in the future. But this one thing I do know, it's a whole lot of folk. It's a whole lot of folk. But now think about it for a moment now. Here Jesus is, whom the Father sent. And he said, "I came to do the will of my Father." But now here Jesus is. Now this is 33 years later now, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying to his Father, and he was saying, "Father, if it's, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. He said, "Father, if there's any way possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, what cup is he talking about? You have to understand that Jesus took the sin, the sicknesses, the iniquities of all those folks that were born before us, that's on this earth right now, and that will be born later on. In other words, he took the sins of the world upon himself. Now, think about that. Now, I'll be honest with you. Thank God I'm born again. Are you born again and glad about it? Glory to God. I don't want to have to deal with my own sins. Amen. I don't want to have to deal with my own sin. Thank God, my sins are nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are nailed to the cross. I am no longer guilty. How about you? Why? Because he took it upon himself. But we have to understand, that was not an easy task. Love is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. And so Jesus said, you know, if there's any way possible, you know, let this cup pass from me, because he knew, you know, what was ahead of him. But then I'm so glad he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on me. It's amazing to me how people can be so arrogant and disrespectful towards God and towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and after all that he's done for us. Now, I realize some folks just don't know because they hadn't been told, but some folks do know, and they just choose to have that type of attitude. But God has been good to us, and he still is good to us. And in spite of all the agony that Jesus had to go through, he was willing to go through it. Number one, he loved the Father. He loved the Father. And number two, he loves us. Amen. Bless the name of the Lord. So now let me read it to you one more time here. Beginning at verse 38, I want you to grab it. Jesus says, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. Say that's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's in his own words. Now he said something else in Luke chapter 19, glory to God. And this is what Jesus said. Matter of fact, I was going to read just verse 10, but let me back up to verse 8. I tell you what, all of this is so good. Let me back up to verse 1. Is that all right? Luke 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, everybody say they. When they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Well, I was a sinner too, and he came into my house. Amen. Glory to God, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he did. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 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 I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, you have to understand, in those days, tax collectors did not have a good reputation, okay? Amen. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. Now, pay special attention to verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Glory to God. Jesus said, one of the reasons for my coming was to seek and save that which was lost. And I like what Jesus said there. He didn't just say, I came to save them that are lost, but he said, I came to seek and save them that are lost. Now, let me tell you something. I believe there's some folks that's watching the live stream, and there may be some present here in the congregation right now. I don't know. But will you please stop running from Jesus? Stop running from him. He's calling you. He's calling you home. He said, I came to seek you. I know who you are, and I know where you are. And I know how to deliver you out of your situation. I know how to bring peace into your life. Jesus said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. I'm so glad he sought me out. I'm so glad he knew my name. I'm so glad he knew who I was. Glory to God. Are you still here? All right, I'm going to go just a few more minutes. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. All right, in Mark chapter 2, I'll begin reading at verse 16. It says, when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? You know, some folks are just plain self-righteous. Yeah, I just want you to think on that a moment. Some folks are just plain self-righteous. Verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, listen to what he said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, that's the self-righteous. But I came to call sinners to repentance. Now, I want you to grab this. Don't let this slip. This need to be said in the day that we're living in right now, because it's not said enough. Jesus said, I have come to call sinners to repentance. Repentance. Not just to be saved, but to repent. Well, what do you mean, repent? The word repent simply in elementary terms means to change your mind. To change your mind. It means that you're going in one direction and you're going to change direction. You're going to do 180. Or you may be doing some things, involved in some things that's not right. You're going to say, no. I changed my mind. I'm going to follow Jesus. Like the song said, I have decided to follow Jesus. The world behind me, you hear me? The world behind me, the cross before me. And we don't have enough of that today. You know, folks say, Lord, I want you to save me, but they don't want to change the way they live. They don't want to change their lifestyle. And Jesus says, I've come to call you to repentance. In the book of Acts, as the apostles preached the gospel, they preached the gospel of repentance. That's the reason we call Jesus Christ our Lord and our Savior. Our Lord and our Savior. He's our Lord because we submit to Him and we obey His command and we do what He tells us to do and don't do what He tells us not to do. We have to understand, as believers, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Hallelujah. And don't get me wrong, I understand. Christians have to grow. Everybody's at a different level of spiritual growth. You know, you can be a spiritual baby. Yeah, you gotta grow. But even a spiritual baby need to commit to, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I want to be like you. I want to be like you more like you, I should say, every day of my life. Y'all still here? Jesus says, I came to call men to repentance. There's some things that, I know this is not popular preaching, but I'm preaching anyway. There's some things that saved folk just don't need to be involved in. There's some things that saved folk don't need to be doing. I'll take a unanimous amen, or I'll take them one at a time. Amen. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. If every one of you get up and walk out, it's still the truth. It don't change the scripture. What we think don't change the scripture. Believers, and I know there's some that's teaching things that they shouldn't teach, you know. It's okay. Go to the Bible. What does the Bible say? The Bible is our handbook, so to speak. I live by the Word of God. I can't live by nobody's opinion. It has to line up with the Word of God. And as I preach to you today and every time I preach to you, you go back to the Word of God and see if those things be so. Because that's how we live, by His Word, what He has said. Amen. So Jesus said, I've come and I've called men to repentance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I love this next one. I know you do too. You probably know it by heart. I know I do, but we're going to turn there anyway. Glory to God. 10th chapter of John. 10th chapter of John. Gospel of John. Hallelujah. Everybody say in his own words. In the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, you probably got this underlined in your Bible or highlighted on your tablet. You should if you don't. Jesus, in his own words, said this in verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's right, isn't it? The thief is the devil. And read it again. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. The devil wants to destroy your peace. He'll take your peace away from you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to take your money. And we could go on and on and on. But I'm so glad that Jesus didn't stop there. But this is what he said in his own words. I have come that they may have life. Now, you've heard me say this before. If he had stopped right there, that would have been very, very good. That would have been excellent if he would have stopped right there. I've come that you might have life. I've come to give you life. But he didn't stop right there. He said, and that they may have it what? More abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly, more abundantly. What is abundant life? First of all, life is, you know, when we're born again, the life of God comes on the inside of us, and we can truthfully say that we have eternal life abiding on the inside of us. But let me tell you something. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and that you have it more abundantly. So I've come that you have eternal life, but also everything that comes with it, a life of peace. Peace in the time of trouble. Peace in the time of a storm. Whatever is going around, whatever is happening, that you can have my peace just boiling on the inside of you, rising up on the inside of you. You can walk in my peace. Hallelujah. That's abundant life. Abundant life is walking in victory. Everybody else may be living a defeated life, but you are living a victorious life. Abundance means that God is meeting your needs. God's meeting your needs. Well, you may say, Pastor, God's not meeting my needs. I'm living on hard times right now. Well, let me tell you, you come on in. You just walk right on through the door of abundance, because Jesus has promised. I came to give you life, and life more abundance, abundantly. And can I throw something else in? Y'all knew I was anyway, right? When it comes, listen to me, I am not a manipulator. Y'all know that, don't you? I don't believe in manipulating people. I don't have to manipulate people. But I am required to preach the gospel. Just want to say this to you. If you're struggling financially, take a look at your giving. Take a look at your giving. Are you a tither? Are you a giver? And if you're not a giver, if you're not a tither, you need to go ahead and repent and say, Lord, I'm going to give you what you ask of me. My tithe. And Lord, I'm going to give you offering. Tithe means tenth. God asked for 10%. God asked for 10%. Offering is whatever you give yourself from your heart. You're still here. Amen. Now you may say, Pastor, I am a tither. I am a giver. But things are a little tough right now. Well, just rejoice. Amen. And you remind God, Father, I am a tither. Father, I'm a giver. So I thank you for meeting my every need. I thank you, Father, for opening the doors. The doors were open for me. Because I am a tither, I am a giver. Because you've heard me say this many times, and I'll say it again, and it don't just apply, don't just apply to finances or material things. But a Bible principle is seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. See, this is giving season. Why do I say that? Because God gave his son. He sent his son a free gift for you and for me. But because God sent his son, guess what? He has reaped a harvest. I am part of that harvest. Hallelujah. I'm part of that harvest because God gave his only begotten son for me and for you too, all of us. I'm reaping the harvest. So always remember the biblical principle of seed time and harvest. Let me tell you something. Let's get away from the finances of the material for a moment. If you sow love, guess what you get back in return? If you sow kindness, what will you get back in return? Huh? If you just sow a smile, what do you get back in return? You may not get it from the person you smiled at. They may give you a dirty look and say, what are you smiling at me for? But somebody's going to give you a smile. Remember, says over in Peter, we won't go there because I'm fixing to close this out. But it says, God has blessed us. He has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. God has called you and me to be a blessing. So Jesus said, the thief comes, John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Hallelujah.